Chapter 26. The Breath of Khadij. Jarlaxle pulled out a wand, very slim and of smooth metal. With it, he casted Rearmor upon himself, allowing him to detect any magic in the area, while Caddybri used her own divine powers to do likewise. "You watch left, I'll focus on the right," he told her. "Let us hope these Canty creatures are magical in nature, that we might discover them before they get too near."
"Move quickly," Caddybri told Entrary and Zack. "The enchantments will not last long."
Down they went, but not as fast as they wanted, for the tunnel became quite slick. Entrary passed a side chamber and glanced in, but moved along as Galathay had instructed. More side passages and chambers dotted the hallway, and again, with only cursory looks, the friends pressed on. Entrary came to another hole in the tunnel wall, this one rounded like an archway, and the chamber within curving and roughly oval, seeming almost as if this area had suddenly melted and flowed outward. Entrary moved past.
"Hold," said Caddybri, coming behind him. She stared into the room, the hairs on the back of her neck tingling. She sensed something, or perhaps some movement had flickered in the corner of her eye. She stood there, crouched, staring, waiting. Jarlaxle came beside her.
"Magical and yet not?" he asked, and Caddybri nodded, understanding his meaning completely. Something was in there. The floor undulated suddenly as if a wave had rolled through, and in its wake a form arose, a single blunt watery pillar, rearing like a cobra and swaying in a slow dance. It bubbled and rolled in on itself, and from there took shape, humanoid shape, except that it was completely of liquid.
"Can't they? Uninhabited," whispered Jarlaxle.
Two more humanoids appeared. Caddybri waved her hands, and three lines of fire shot forth, hitting one fully in the chest, clipping a second about the hip and taking one leg right off and melting the head off the third. The first diminished as it shed water but came forward. The second fell over onto the floor, dissolved into it, and came right back up again, leg reformed. And the third continued its headless approach until another head grew out of its collar. Lightning flashed from Jarlaxle, hitting the first again, squarely. The bolt grounded on it, through it, leaving a spider web of cracks with bits falling away. Zacnaphane leaped in front, bringing forth his fiery whip, and Trary tried to join him but called out, suddenly stuck to the floor. Caddybri turned at his call, then looked on in horror as another monster climbed up his leg, giving him the sensation of sinking into a puddle. The watery creature's leading edge remained fluid, flowing upward, the liquid left behind froze solid. Entrary whacked at the floor with Charon's claw, breaking the ice all around. He grimaced and groaned in pain, and they could see the ice squeezing his leg. A crack of Zacnaphane's whip cut the floor just beside the trapped foot, then a second snap as Zack sorted out where the corridor ended and the Cante began. "The ones in the room," Jarlaxle demanded, and another lightning bolt left his wand. Caddybri popped Tolmeril into her hands and began a line of arrows aimed not at the humanoid-shaped ice monsters, but at the floor all about the entrance to the side chamber. Most just sparked into the ice, sending a small ball of electricity about and leaving cracks, but one caught yet another of the creatures flowing quietly, sneaking out. Entrary broke free of the icy grasp and attacked the spot with his red-bladed sword. He took up his jeweled dagger as he retreated and dug at the ice enwrapping his leg, but it was Zack's fiery whip that finished the job. The weapon master then turned on the one Caddybri had struck with an arrow. "Don't call to the plane of fire," Caddybri reminded him as the weapon master went into a wild dance, spinning and snapping the bullwhip, the weapon perfectly designed for fighting creatures made of ice, surely. One humanoid-shaped monster got too near, and Zack took its legs with a single, devastating crack of the whip. The torso bounced to the floor and began to dissolve, but an arrow of lightning shattered it. Into the room Zack spun, battering everything in sight, floor, monster, walls, even taking down an icy stalactite. "More," Entrary called from farther along the corridor. "Flee," said Jarlaxle when he turned that way, and Caddybri understood, following his gaze, for the whole corridor seemed alive with flowing forms, waves of elementals, water weirds, or whatever strange cross of the two these monsters might be. But they couldn't flee, couldn't hope to get away from this liquid swarm.
Cover, Catty Bree called instead, and she threw her greatest fire spell, a tiny pea of flame, flying away down the corridor. She had no idea what the result might be, or how far back the fireball would expand in the confined space, but she was fairly certain whatever happened would be better than that which they now faced. As soon as she let fly the spell, she shied away and lifted her cloak up over her head and shoulders, and the hot winds rolled over her, rolled over them all. And then, as quickly as this encounter had begun, it ended, the air thick with mist and strangely quiet, save for a dripping sound. When it cleared, the friends, all shaken, skin red and warm, held the defensive posture for some time. But the tunnel showed no further movement.
"We should leave," said Entreri,
hopping all about, sword and dagger at the ready. He swept Karen's claw around, dropping a wave of ash to the floor, thinking the contrast would show him any movement.
"Now!"
"We are almost there," Jarlaxle argued.
"Cast your spell," Entreri told Catty Bree.
She looked at him curiously for a moment, then came to understand. The human assassin had spent many days trapped in a magical cocoon, a memory that was clearly rattling him now. "I have it ready," she assured him.
"I felt it. You didn't feel it. That thing. It wasn't just ice. It wasn't just on me. It was seeping into me, and it was telling me to let it."
"It was speaking to you?" Catty Bree asked. Entreri shook his head.
"Yes. No, I don't know." He blew out his breath, trying to steady himself. "All I know is that I don't want to feel that again, ever."
"Doomwheel is close," Jarlaxle insisted. "You felt it with Cazadea."
"You heard the warnings of Galathea and the others," Entreri argued. "It's not her, it's..."
He looked back down the corridor at the puddles on the floor and the rivulets on the walls, already freezing once more.
"It's them."
"Give me the sword," Catty Bree told Zack. And he handed her Cazadea. She fell right into it, dominating it, forcing it to consider the elf it had once controlled. "She's not far at all," Catty Bree told the others. "I feel it."
"We have to look," Zaknafane said.
"Here they come again," Entreri warned.
"Do it," Jarlaxle told Zack, nodding at his whip. "And bring allies forth, Catty Bree. We have no choice." "We could leave," Catty Bree reminded him. But Zack had already cracked his whip across, and this time it did tear a rift into the plane of fire, drawing a deep and dripping line in the air. "Keep your spell of recall ready," Jarlaxle told her. She didn't need that prompt. She did reach through the magic in her ring to the tear Zack had created and pulled forth elementals, small ones but many, then commanded them off down the tunnel where they ran up against the approaching horde of Kante in a steamy battle. On they went. At Catty Bree's call, Zack opened another tear and more elementals came forth, leading the way. The companions followed Galathea's direction, staying right at the forks, and if they had any trouble locating the uninhabited, the small living fire elemental surely did not, seeking them out like aimed arrows, colliding with hissing embraces. Whenever the flames went out, a crack of Zack's whip brought more in, and Catty Bree sent them running ahead. Thus far, at least, Khadij had not awakened. Galathea knew they should be long gone from this place, but her arguments against Azudana and the others, who wanted to linger, had been half-hearted at best, for the paladin, too, wanted to see what these new friends from the Southland might do. Galathea had led the group that had come here those months before. She had lost a score of Avendrau, Doomwheel, and a trio of orcs. That defeat had weighed on her, of course. She knew her responsibilities here, and her orders were clear that they not risk any more Caladaeans. They were supposed to be on their skis and moving back for the previous rift, where the rest of the escort team waited. But the sounds of lightning bolts had stopped them, and Azudana had led the way back cautiously to the site of the first battle. They could tell from the shards lying about the floor of the oval room, and from the smoothness of the corridor ahead, a glassy tableau that showed the melt of a fireball, that the Southerners had fought a terrific battle here, and the mere fact that none of them were here encased showed they had won that fight. "Perhaps they're right and Doomwheel is alive," Azudana said when Galathea told them that they must depart. "Perhaps our lost friends are similarly so."
"They are overtaken," Galathea said. "We know that."
"Do we know that?" Emelian questioned. The confusion of the battle was unlike anything we have yet seen.
"But the result was something we've seen all too often," Galathea reminded him.
We'll stay safely back, Azudanna promised. When Galathea hesitated, the warrior started off down the corridor. Galathea started to call out to her, to scold her and order her back. But that last battle she had led in here, those losses. Just a bit further, she agreed. But stay close and prepare to flee. I'm not losing any more of those I lead, the paladin told herself. The tunnel opened ahead into a wider area, and before the companions even reached that point, they knew that the chamber Galathea had described to them lay beyond. Caddy Bree called to the few small fire sprites, moving them back behind the foursome to cover the tunnel, then motioned for Entreri and Zack to advance. They went in slowly, cautiously, and paused at the entrance to survey a most spectacular room. It was as large as Cascat, a huge chamber, roughly square, with a ceiling of ice far, far above, as distant as the ice wall directly across from the tunnel. To their right, the side wall was not far away, the chamber, predictably, as they were on the right-hand side of the glacier, opening to the left. It was not dark in here, the shimmering lights of the merry dancers coming in through a large circular hole in the middle of the wall far to the left. No, not a hole, Caddy Bree thought, but possibly a thin sheet of translucent ice. Whether that was the case or not, there was an opening somewhere in here, for the wind moaned and sighed, the breath of a giant, the breath, perhaps, of Khadij, a hollow and empty sound that gave the vast chamber a sensation of emptiness. A frozen waterfall loomed near the center of the opposite wall, almost as if put there to serve as a fast slide down from a long-running ledge some 50 feet from the ground. Perhaps there were tunnels at the back of that ledge, ready to bring a host of charging enemies in upon them. The floor itself was broken, with varying sheets of frozen steps, or more appropriately, uneven and disjointed shelves. If the ice of a frozen lake had been cracked apart by undulating waves below, then flash frozen once more as the swells moved along, it would resemble this floor. Dozens of stalagmites dotted much of the floor, particularly here near the tunnel entrance. Some loomed twice the height of a tall man. The Overtaken? Zaknafane's fingers asked, silently saying what they were all thinking. This had been the spot of the battle where Dumwheel had fallen, or perhaps fallen was the wrong word. For if there were bodies encased in those stalagmites, they were likely standing upright. But this was the sight from everything Galathea and Azudanna had told them. The sword, Zack, Jarlaxle whispered, and he nodded toward Caddy Bree when Zack looked back at him. Zack handed her Cassidea, and she immediately put it up before her, holding it loosely, letting it find Dumwheel among the forms. There! Caddy Bree said breathlessly only a moment later, now gripping the sword more tightly and stabbing it toward a stalagmite some 30 feet or so away, just a bit to the left in a cluster of several of the up-pointing icicles. It is her! She gave Zack the sword back, and they all strained their eyes in the dim light, trying to see if there were indeed discernible figures in those pillars. Caddy Bree took out her bow and called for an arrow from her magical quiver. She whispered to the arrow a command word to eliminate the lightning properties, then held her hand before the tip and looked at Jarlaxle. Light one, the drow rogue agreed. Caddy Bree stepped deeper into the tunnel and turned away, then placed a minor enchantment on the tip, a light spell. She set it to her bowstring as she turned about, leveled, pulled back just a bit, and let fly, the arrow speeding toward the nearest stalagmite and jabbing into the ice. The companions gasped as one, for illuminated by the magical light, they could see the clear form of someone, likely an Avendrow, trapped within, arms raised up high before her as if trying futilely to defend herself. Are they going to animate and rise against us? Entreri asked. If not, do we try to break them all out or just Dumwheel? Give the sword to Caddy Bree, Jarlaxle told Zack. Take us straight to Dumwheel. If we can free her and she is indeed alive, we can then decide further. Stay close, Caddy Bree told them as she took the sword. I'll not hesitate to teleport us out of here, but I warn, the range of my spell is limited. She took the point, following Cassidea's telepathic directions, with Entreri and Zack a step behind, flanking two steps left and right, and Jarlaxle in the middle behind them. The rogue cast a second spell of detect magic from his wand, as the first one had long since expired. Caddy Bree veered to the right, putting some distance between them and the magically lit stalagmite. She watched closely, as did the others, trying to see if there would be any movement at all from the figure trapped within. They saw nothing, just the blurry form of an Avendrow and what seemed to be the last moments of her life. Farther into the vast chamber they crept, past more mounds, moving straight for the targeted one now.
Zack, ready your whip, Jarlaxle warned. We aren't alone.
With Dumuil's pillar clearly identified by then, Caddy Bree turned back toward Zack and handed him Cassidea. She pulled out Tolmaril and set an arrow. Not a moment too soon, for behind her and to the right, Zack lifted his whip and snapped it low against the floor, which shimmered beneath the blow as the approaching Kante split apart.
Here, Entreri called from the other side, and Caddy Bree reached through her ring to the tear Zack had created, but managed to glance back to the left to see Entreri dancing about, waving Karin's claw down low, the red blade releasing walls of ash all about the floor.
Clever, she heard Jarlaxle say as she brought forth dripping balls of living flame and commanded them forth to seek the monsters of water and ice. Up came the horde of uninhabited, taking humanoid form, a veritable army of the cold monsters pressing in from all sides. Up came Tolmaril in response, lightning arrows crashing through the monsters and flying on. Up came Jarlaxle's giant conjured bird with a great squawk, running off wildly, wings flapping, pecking and stomping with its great talons. Up came Zacnaphane after rolling farther away from the group, buying himself the room he needed to fully work his whip. He did so in a fury then, snapping his wrist back and forth, cracking it against the ground before him over and over, shattering any monsters sneaking too near, icy shards and droplets flying. And of course, more tears cut into the air to the plane of fire. Caddy Bree reached through them to bring in more elementals, as those she had already sent forth met with Kante in a foggy crash of mutual destruction. She kept firing her bow, too, but they were being sorely pressed now, with monsters coming around every pillar, as if the entire floor of this vast cavern was rising up against them.
"We have to leave," she cried.
"Too many," Entreri agreed. Caddy Bree glanced that way to see the man in the diatrama rushing about, smashing their nearly translucent enemies. Entreri seemed cornered, though, and was too far away for her word of recall. If she cast it, he would be abandoned here. A lightning blast from Jarlaxle bought Entreri a bit of room, albeit temporarily. "Now, Jarlaxle," Entreri yelled, rolling out between a pair of reaching uninhabited. He left something on the ground as he came to his feet, and Caddy Bree understood just a moment later when a large, emaciated black stallion appeared, fire flowing from its mane and hooves and spouting from its nostrils with every angry snort. Entreri leaped upon its back and sent it furiously bucking and spinning, every kick exploding an animated Iceman, every stomp puddling the ground and sending flames and smoke flying all about. An angry neighing from behind told Caddy Bree that Jarlaxle had followed Entreri's lead. But they had to get out of there, and now they were too far apart. Fight them, Jarlaxle yelled. Another lightning bolt shot forth, arcing past Zacnaphane and skipping through a trio of Kante. Cracked, they were easier to discern, and Zack put his whip to fast work. Three quick strikes, three destroyed enemies. Three out of legion. Entreri and his mount went leaping and spinning, furiously kicking, up ahead of Caddy Bree, though still to her left. Very near the stalagmite she had illuminated, the hell steed bucked, spun, and double-kicked, exploding a Kante. The nightmare seemed the perfect foils for such monsters, and kicking right through it to smash into that mound of ice. Entreri just kept moving past, not even watching, it seemed, as the stalagmite cracked and split, a slab falling off to the side.
"To Dumuil," Jarlaxle commanded, but then came a second voice.
"Help me," pleaded the poor Avendrow, caught within that mound. Battered, her skin blistered, she reached desperately toward the fighting four, trying to come to them. But as she was still frozen in place from the waist down, she just fell limply over the edge of the cracked pillar, her arms waving in the air pitifully, as if she were trying to swim to them. Up ahead, Entreri pulled up his mount and looked back, eyes wide with shock. For here came the next wave, and these were not uninhabited. They were the same size and surely cloaked in ice, but with drow inside, like ice-covered zombies shambling and sliding. Caddy Bree gasped when she looked past Entreri, past the overtaken, to the ice waterfall halfway across the room. She blinked, trying to be sure of what she was seeing, and launched a silver-streaking arrow in that direction to light it up. dozens, scores of Endivi, poured down from that ledge above, sliding down the waterfall and coming on. To the left and behind, the diatrama shrieked, and Caddy Bree had barely glanced at it, barely registering that the bird was frozen to the ground, more ice forming all about its thrashing body, even as it tried futilely to wing-beat and peck and shake free, before hearing a cry from Zack the other way. He too was stuck to the ground, monsters swarming. He went into a whip-snapping frenzy, over and under with fury. But they couldn't hold. "Get to Doomwheel," Jarlaxle commanded, and he too went past Caddy Bree on his hellsteed, kicking at anything that got too near. Caddy Bree looked past Zack to the ledge along the wall opposite the tunnel, and there loomed a new threat, one that froze her in place in dread. A slad, perhaps, for it seemed a frog-like humanoid, but much larger than those they had encountered, giant-sized and dark-skinned, its eyes flaring with orange demonic flames, its mouth wide and full of pointy teeth. Demonic flames behind it, too, making the monster's head look much like a gigantic jack-o'-lantern. It held a huge curving blade, jagged on both sides, and looking as if it could cut the four of them in half with a single swipe. "Come near," Caddy Bree ordered her friends, "now!" The giant leaped out from the ledge, bat wings unfolding behind it as it glided toward them. Were they leathery or were they flesh? Or were they simply smoke? Was all of this demon monster's form just smoke? Caddy Bree could see its skeleton through the dark fog. "Zacnaphane," she cried out, for it was swooping in from that side. She leveled Talmaril, but then lowered it and lifted her unicorn pendant instead. "Run," she heard Jarlaxle yell then, and she knew he had seen it too. Caddy Bree pressed the pendant, her holy symbol, to her lips and called to Mialiki, channeling the power of her goddess. The area around her lit up in a brilliant radiance, a divine light, biting at her enemies, melting them, diminishing them. The flying, smoking giant came into the radiance and recoiled, clearly stung, and Caddy Bree dared hope, fleeting though it was. For her radiant light expired, and the gray slod behemoth remained. They had to get out. Caddy Bree knew they had to get out. She glanced at Jarlaxle and Trary, but they were too far away. So was Zack, but she thought she could get to him, so she leaped that way, ready to utter her word, ready to send herself and the Weapon Master back to Kaladay. She heard something, but in her head and not aloud, and thought it a name. As she sorted through the sound, she realized the truth of it, that it was the boastful announcement of a great being's arrival. "Igorl." Then a second word, a word she did not know, a word she could not unravel and could not decipher and could not dismiss. A word that stunned her and confused her and sent her staggering back several short steps. In swooped the giant slod, in came the blade, and then came a black flash and it was gone, leaving behind just a curl of dark smoke. Zacnaphane was yelling to her, but she could not hear. She could see the flashes of his whip, but could not reach out through her ring to call forth elementals. She stumbled and turned and saw the great monster again, but now all the way across the room, standing before the bright translucent circle, letting in the light of the merry dancers. All the way there, across the room. A teleport? But nothing made sense as that strange indecipherable word kept repeating in her every thought, kept knocking her back and off balance. She saw Jarlaxle upon his steed, kicking and spinning, destroying another pillar with fiery hooves, an orc falling free to the floor and trying weirdly and pitifully to rise, his limbs not quite answering the call of his thoughts. She saw Entrary similarly bucking his steed, ice flying, flames snorting and spouting with every breath and every slamming hoof. And she saw most of all that giant silhouette before the huge ice circle far away. As if mesmerized, the stunned priestess watched the huge curving blade lift, then suddenly sweep out and back, slamming the sheet of ice which broke apart and fell crashing from the wall. And in came the wind, and even with her magical protection, Caddy Bree could feel the sudden bite of cold and the sting of a hurricane of sleet blasting through the vast chamber. She couldn't remember her spells, couldn't remember her name. She watched in horror a hail of ice pellets drive at Zack, then form a small tornado swirling about him. He snapped his whip furiously for a short moment, but then his arm wouldn't move as the ice grasped him. The whip became a blade of flame, sparking and hissing against the unrelenting, icy barrage. A stalagmite of ice grew thick around him. She saw Jarlaxle's Hellsteed, riderless and leaping, and saw Jarlaxle fall to the ground, then through the ground beneath the cyclone. Farther on, and Treri's horse was spinning, spinning lower and lower as a tornado formed about it, spinning, and then it was not, for it and its rider became a stalagmite, and then the Hellsteed vanished, and the mostly hollow mound crumbled, but reformed, a lump of ice entombing the fallen Artemis and Treri. And Jarlaxle's mount was gone, the rogue nowhere to be seen. Finally, the stunning word let her go, and Catti Bree tried to lift her bow, for what else might she do? But it was useless, for she couldn't even see the far wall and the smoky slad giant as the fury of the ice pellets pounded against her. She noted the poor Avendrow and the orc, still trying to rise, but caught again by the frozen tombs, and she heard the increasing roar of angry wind as the pellets began to spin tightly about her. She dropped Tolmeril to the ground. She tried to remember her spells, her word of recall, to be out of there, but her face was encased, and she couldn't utter a sound. She tried to cover, tried to break free of the frozen mask, tried to grab at anything that might help, her belt, an arrow, her pouch. But she couldn't talk, couldn't cast, and then couldn't move as she too became a stalagmite. So suddenly had it turned, so suddenly had their plan shattered, so suddenly had they lost. Catti Bree wanted to call out, but she could not. She thought of her loss, of never seeing Drizzt or Bree again, of her foolishness in coming here, to the north and to this place, against the warnings of the Avendrow. She wanted to see Caladay again, to walk its ways with her husband and their daughter, but she would not. She considered one other friend, but couldn't even utter her name, except she didn't have to. Flashes kept the Avendrow band moving forward, slowly, slowly, inexorably pulled by their loyalty to these four strangers who had become such friends in so short a time. They could hear the fury of the fight, the crackles of lightning and the snap of Zack's whip, a cacophony now fast diminishing. Then the roar of the wind, thunderous and painful, and one both Galathea and Azudana had heard before. "Enough, we must be gone," Galathea's lifted hand silently screamed to them. And the paladin grabbed Vessi, who was closest to her, and tugged at him to turn back the other way. He resisted until far ahead they saw a form, large and dark, rushing down the tunnel. All the Avendrow turned and ran, even Azudana, who gave one last glance back for Zack, knowing in her heart that he had fallen. The warrior wouldn't have outrun the pursuit in any case, but her hesitation had her at the back of the retreating line, and so it was she who felt the heavy collision from behind, throwing her forward and down, rushing at the ground. Enwrapped, shocked and overcome, she never even felt the impact.